Right, up next we're talking all things Booker Awards. In 2025, the Booker Award went to David Saleh for his novel Flesh. I read that. I absolutely loved it. I thought about it forever. In fact, I still think about it. It contains really interesting narrative devices. One of them is jumping forward. The author jumps forward in time quite a lot, which I absolutely loved. It kept me riveted. Another thing that people said a lot about Flesh, I don't know if you've read it, is that the main character didn't have very much to say for himself. So that was also an interesting take on it. Did you know the author won £50,000 for winning the Booker Award? So it's a very important prize, and it also has a great payday for the author. So on the 28th of July, they announced the long list for the 2026 Booker Prize, and it's come out with much fanfare. And so we asked Riley Herbert Henry to join us, tell us what he thinks of the long list, if he's got any predictions, if there are any big surprises. And over to you, Riley Herbert Henry. What do you make of the 2026 Booker long list?
Every year, when the Booker Prize long list is announced, you can set your watch by the reaction. Someone will inevitably complain that it's become too literary, too strange, too obsessed with experimentation, and too disconnected from ordinary readers. This year, The Telegraph went one step further. Their headline read, "The 2026 Booker Prize judges need to grow up," arguing that this year's panel had rewarded style and provocation over proper storytelling. I have to say, I don't agree. Now, I can understand where that criticism comes from. On paper, this year's long list sounds wonderfully bizarre. There's a novel in which builders accidentally create a magical Turkish prison instead of renovating a bathroom. Another follows a struggling actor who spends an entire university term zipped inside a giant black bag as part of a psychological experiment. There's a post-apocalyptic Britain facing what may or may not be an alien invasion. And then there's an unnamed medieval kingdom sitting alongside contemporary museum creation. If you only read the plot summaries, you might think the Booker judges had simply chosen the strangest premises they could find. But that's the thing about the Booker Prize. The premise is rarely the point. This long list may look like a collection of literary stunts to someone fond of a traditional narrative structure, and perhaps a little weary of the strange and uncomfortable, but at its heart, it is a remarkably coherent group of novels, asking very old, very human questions. Even the judges seem far more interested in those emotional truths than in formal experimentation. Again and again, their comments describe these novels as moving, compassionate, humorous. They understand the empathy of human beings. They're understated. It's daring. The unusual settings just so happen to be there. They're simply different ways of getting at familiar human experiences. I ask myself then, hasn't literature always done that? Kafka gave us a man who woke up as an insect. Orwell imagined a society under total surveillance. Morrison gave us ghosts. Marquez filled entire villages with impossible things. None of those books are remembered for being weird. They're remembered because they use the unusual to illuminate something deeply recognizable about being human. The Booker has always rewarded books willing to take risks. What's also interesting about this year's long list is the balance between established literary heavyweights and completely fresh voices. You've got Booker winner Marlon James returning alongside Douglas Stewart and Elizabeth Strout, whose quiet, emotionally devastating novels have made her one of America's finest contemporary writers. Then, sitting beside them are debut novelists, Keenan Orhan, Rebecca Perry, Jamel White. I love seeing that mixture. There's something exciting about a prize that can celebrate writers at the height of their careers, while also introducing readers to voices they might never otherwise have discovered. Another thing that struck me is just how geographically and stylistically broad their list feels. The titles themselves tell quite an interesting story. Chloe Origis appears with The Shadow of the Object, while Emma Klein Switzy continues her exploration of fractured relationships and identity. M. John Harrison, long regarded as one of Britain's most inventive literary voices, is recognised for The End of Everything, a science fiction novel, and Elizabeth Strout returns with The Things We Never Say, another novel that promises the emotional precision readers have come to expect from her. Now, I've read all of Elizabeth Strout, and this one is by far her best. Then, they are books whose premises have generated much of the conversation surrounding this year's list. Kenan Orhan's The Renovation transforms what begins as an ordinary building project into something altogether stranger, while Luke Kennard's Black Bag follows an actor who agrees to spend an entire university term zipped inside a giant black bag as part of that same psychological experiment I mentioned earlier. Rebecca Perry's debut, May We Feed the King, draws readers into an unnamed medieval kingdom. This book won the Waterstones debut prize for fiction and is one of my favourites so far this year, while Jamel White's All Them Dogs imagines an island in which there is a lot of gang violence. Alongside them are Marlon James's The Disappearers, Douglas Stewart's John of John, Gwendolyn Riley's The Palm House, McKenna Goodman's Helen of Nowhere, and Missouri Williams's The Vivisectors, another weird book. Taken together, they're an extraordinarily varied collection of novels, not simply in subject matter, but in the way each writer approaches storytelling itself. What I find particularly striking is that none of these books seem interested in being unusual simply for the sake of it. Each appears to use its own distinctive setting, structure, or voice in service of something recognisably human. Whatever that is, whether it be grief, family, identity, power, memory, belonging, experimentation always seems to point back towards emotion. And perhaps that's exactly what the book has always celebrated. Not novelty for novelty's sake, but the originality in the pursuit of the truth. Taken together, these novels move between Jamaica, Mexico, Ireland, Scotland, the medieval courts, universities, hospitals, and imagined futures. They range from intimate family dramas to spec fic, from quiet realism to bold experimentation. Yet, they're united by an interest in the emotional lives of their characters. Sometimes, the most traditional structure is exactly what's needed. Other times, a strange premise, an unusual voice, or an unconventional narrative opens up emotional territory that realism simply can't reach. That's why I find the criticism that these judges have somehow abandoned storytelling a little puzzling. The books that endure aren't necessarily the ones with the simplest plots. They're the ones that make us feel something unexpected. I am a little shocked to see the exclusion of Ben Lerner's incredibly cerebral and affecting transcription from the list. Although, there is always a crowd favourite the judges seem to admit every year, and this one seems to be it for 2026. Of course, not every book on this long list will be for every reader. That's never been the booker's job. It's not a popularity contest, nor should it be. It's a prize for fiction that pushes the novel forward while remaining rooted in the complexity of human experience. If anything, this year's long list reminds us that fiction doesn't have to choose between imagination and emotion. The best novels manage both. So no, I don't think the Booker judges need to grow up. I think they've recognised something that the best writers have always known. Sometimes the strangest stories are the ones that tell us the deepest truths about ourselves. I think that they've recognised something beautiful. And looking at this year's Booker long list, that's exactly the journey I'm most excited to take. The long list of 13 novels is now available to view on thebookerprizes.com. The short list of 6 books will follow on the 22nd of September, and the winner will be announced in early November. For Book Choice, my name is Riley Herbert-Henry, and it's been my pleasure chatting to you today about the Booker long list. FMR.